The communist tabloid, the Global Times, explains China's Global Civilization Initiative as the third major global initiative presented by China after the Global Development Initiative and the Global Security Initiative. This narrative deceptively claims the initiative calls for respect for the diversity of civilizations.
The Chinese government has clamped down hard, putting in place restrictive rules and reforming the way Hong Kong is run. MPs who are directly elected by the people will also have less power.
Upholding the common values of humanity and pursuing peace, development, equity, justice, democracy, and freedom.
If there is no threat to Americans, if there is no threat to our data, privacy, security, why did an internal memo from TikTok corporate headquarters explicitly coach senior management to, quote, downplay the parent company ByteDance? Why, if you had nothing to hide, would you need to downplay the association with ByteDance in China?
Congressman, I have not seen this memo.
And promoting robust international people-to-people exchanges and cooperation.
Hunter Biden's business associate sent over $1 million to three of your family members. Any reaction to that report?
Not true. House Oversight says they've got bank records showing a Chinese energy company paying three Biden family members through a third party. What were they paid for?
Look, I'm just not going to respond to that from here.
He's telling us that he paid around $11,000 to complete this trip that's either paid to a cartel or different human smuggling groups. But he's just arrived here in Texas, once again, just highlighting that this sector is leading the nation in those illegal crossings from Chinese nationals.
The emerging BRICS countries quickly fell in line behind President Xi's illusion.
I totally agree that the world order, the way it is built today, doesn't make any sense. That is, it's not in line with the economic powers like India, Brazil, or Germany, you know, that they don't have a massive role in the international order. But to me, the big question is, so how we are going to go through this transformation? It cannot be gradual. It has to be driven by a certain shock that will happen.
We have lost a large part of humankind to the pandemic because we were all selfish. We were not willing to share. We were not willing to use the global institutions to deliver responses to different parts of the world. We have lost people. Now, how much more bloodshed do we need to understand that the transition is upon us?
South African President Cyril Ramaphosa said that he fully agrees with Xi's initiative.
South Africa is grateful to the People's Republic of China for its support throughout the pandemic, and particularly for working to ensure that Africa has greater access to COVID-19 vaccines.
Nothing can change our friendship of steel.
While UN water-carrying Serbian President Aleksandar Vučić also said that nations should uphold the principles of equality, mutual learning, dialogue, and inclusiveness. Equality from a Chinese government that is conducting a mass genocidal sterilization campaign on its citizens known as the Uyghurs.
Before eating, we have to praise or say that we are grateful to country. We are very grateful for China's Communist Party, and we are grateful for Xi Jinping.
This desperate man says he and his wife and children are starving. Uyghurs were barely allowed to leave their homes during the COVID-19 lockdown.
Mutual learning from a cover-up of a global lab leak that has killed millions and damaged millions more through the initial virus and its subsequent vaccine.
As you note, Brett, the FBI has for quite some time now assessed that the origins of the pandemic are most likely a potential lab incident in Wuhan.
And dialogue and inclusiveness from a country where of the over 100 foreign journalists that took part in the Foreign Correspondents Club of China survey, 99% said that they felt working conditions did not meet international standards.
Barry, call the consulate now.
Once the layers of propaganda are stripped off, that even American media gleefully engages in, Xi's speech is laid bare for what it is, the announcement of the impending emergence of a new world order, carefully constructed.
Good morning, everybody. Matt Weber here, sitting in for Harrison Smith again today. Harrison will be back here soon. He is on the mend. We're going to be taking your calls, as always, whenever I host. So do give us a call at 877-789-2539. While we're accumulating those calls, I'm going to talk to you about the news, what I think's important. I feel like there's a news story out there floating around. Everybody wants to talk about it. What could it be? Don't you hate talking about school shootings? Things like that. They're the worst. They're the worst. This one, a little different. But before we get into that, let's get into more important news. Here we go. Let's get into the jobs most exposed to ChatGPT. This is news that affects you. Accountants are among the professionals whose careers are most exposed to the capabilities of generative artificial intelligence, according to a new study. The researchers found that at least half of accounting tasks could be completed much faster with the technology. The same is true for mathematicians, interpreters, writers, and nearly 20% of the U.S. workforce, according to the study by researchers at the University of Pennsylvania and OpenAI, a company that makes the popular AI tool ChatGPT. I can tell you this is really true, that writers, amongst other things, you know, where there's syntax involved and, you know, you have to understand that, you know, there's nuance involved. No, ChatGPT is very, very scary at how quickly it can generate a description or a title for something when you just plug in a transcript. It's unbelievably crazy. Tell you, actually, kind of a cool application for it that blew my mind. And something that, you know, again, ChatGPT could save you time on your job. Outside of InfoWars, I'm part of something called Go Sports. It's pro paintball. Very cool. The engineer there worked with a developer he found on a forum similar to Fiverr. And he said for about $1,000, he showed me this video. We've seen the videos before of Chinese surveillance where, you know, you've got a bunch of people walking through and there are boxes around their faces and, you know, there's data, you know, just quickly flashing on the screen, this metadata around the people. But we found that if we put a really wide shot on the paintball field, we could identify players by their numbers. Oh, yeah, there we go. This is pro paintball for you. This is what we do. If you do you guys think that NFL is gay and you're looking for an alternative sport? Yeah, pro paintball. It's the way to go. Check it out. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun to play, a lot of fun to watch. And by the way, while we're on the topic of things like shootings, guess who doesn't shoot up schools? Paintball players. Pro paintball players are... It's funny that, you know, the sport itself gets kind of a bad rap, and there's an uphill battle with sponsors and things like that because people think it's violent. But the truth is that the guys who play pro paintball, they get it all out on the field. They're like the nicest people you'll ever meet in real life. They're funny, you know. You have a good time hanging out with them, but it's neither here nor there. What I'm telling you is that ChatGPT is scary strong. I mean, it can track all of the plays that paintball players make, and the guy who developed it was telling me. He said, you know, I asked it where this person went, and it could tell me reliably where they went. And that's just, it's a lot of hours for people to put in, but lots of jobs, The takeaway here from this article is that 20% of the U.S. workforce is at jeopardy. If you think about 20% of the U.S. workforce that is currently employed that have STEM jobs, we're talking mathematicians, interpreters, writers. These are important fields. This isn't, you know, gender inclusivity. If that's disrupted overnight, if ChatGPT could, within a matter of months, usurp their jobs, economically, that would be devastating. This just, you know, underscores the fact that a lot of the politics that we talk about, a lot of the issues that we talk about are very superficial, but this is very real, right? We do need to start developing policies for AI, and we need to start really, really thinking about these ethics very, very quickly, because I do think that we are behind the ball. And a lot of the developers understand that as well, and, you know, they're exploiting that. There is definitely a huge knowledge gap in terms of where our politicians and our lawmakers are today and the people who develop the technology. And the people who develop that technology understand that, and they understand that they can get away with a lot of things that may be outlawed or illegal in tomorrow's world. Continuing on, the tool has provoked excitement and anxiety in companies, schools, governments, and the general public for its ability to process massive amounts of information and generate sophisticated, though not necessarily accurate and unbiased, content in response to prompts from users. The researchers, who published the working paper online this month, examined occupants' exposure to the new technology, which is powered by software called large language models that can analyze and generate text. They analyzed the share of the jobs tasks where GPT's generative pre-trained transformers and software that incorporates them can reduce it in time that it takes to complete a task by at least 50%. Researchers found that state-of-the-art GPTs excel in tasks such as translation, classification, creative writing, and generating computer code. The last part of that should scare you. Again, when we talk about runaway technologies, technologies that are able to get away from us. I started speaking about this yesterday. Just again, this book by Michael Crichton, Prey, is, you know, the preface of the book is for 2002. Michael Crichton was so ahead of his time. You know, he talks about the convergence of biotechnology, nanotechnology, and software. And those three things, you know, when they can merge, right, those are three things that can get out of our control really quickly. We saw that with the lab leak with COVID, right? We're seeing that right now with ChatGPT. Think about if there's nanoparticles out there, right? Stuff nightmares are made of. All right, speaking of technology, at least 50 U.S. government employees hit with spyware, the White House says. At least 50 U.S. government employees are suspected or confirmed to have been targeted with commercial spyware that hacks smartphones to spy on their owners, the White House said Monday. A White House official said that on a phone call, a number of known victims who work for the U.S. spans at least 10 countries on multiple continents. The White House requested that the official not be named as part of terms of the call. Our efforts to identify additional targeted personnel continue, but we obviously cannot rule out even more instances. To wrap up, while spyware companies often say that their products are used to catch criminals, they've repeatedly been deployed against journalists, political candidates, researchers, and activists around the world, leading to widespread condemnation from human rights advocates. That's right, spyware's out there, and hey, if we can use spyware and ChatGPT together, whoa. We're talking about your data and technology. The last segment, we started with jobs most exposed by ChatGPT and got into at least 50 government employees hit with spyware, White House says. Got kind of cut off by the break there. Want to get back into this. Got a few more stories on your data and spyware. But The story is at least 50 U.S. government employees hit with spyware, White House says. And here's where it gets interesting. The White House also announced that The White House also announced that President Joe Biden would sign an executive order aimed at curtailing spyware abuse by setting guidelines for the companies that produce it. The official said that the order gives the White House the power to ban a company's software across all federal agencies if it's found to have spyware or target activists, curb political dissent, or spy on Americans. Again, commit civil rights violations, right? The announcement comes after a series of revelations in recent years about the use of advanced smartphone spyware by some governments around the world, i.e. Pegasus, right? A 2018 report by Citizen Lab, a technology and internet project at the University of Toronto, found that one type of spyware had most likely been used by 36 different operators in 45 different countries. The shadowy companies behind this spyware make up a growing industry that gives governments a way to spy on individual smartphones. Spyware programs have been shown to provide near total access to a target's smartphone, even to email accounts and to microphones in order to listen in on private conversations. Now, if we were to take this, right, this information that we have, let's think about science fiction from 30 years ago, 40 years ago, even, right? THX-1138. In that movie, you've got people who form a panopticon, right? This system where everybody watches everybody. And so much of that movie shows government operators, you know, spying from behind, you know, a desk or, you know, they're spying on people. Well, let's introduce ChatGPT into that equation. And now you've got a little technology cocktail, if you will, that is pretty supercharged, pretty scary, right? If you've got a government that's able to deploy spyware and then usurp your metadata, even your cell phone recordings, put those into transcripts, and then plug that into ChatGPT, do you think it could predict what you're going to do? What type of accuracy do you think that it could pinpoint what you're going to do on a given day? Right? We all have routines, right? It's one of the things I think that grounds us as people, right? Is our routines throughout daily life. It's pretty scary. It's pretty scary. But the government's not really that interested in getting our data, right? I mean, like, everyday citizens, right? 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 Well, here's the FBI's contract to buy mass internet data. The Federal Bureau of Investigation paid tens of thousands of dollars on internet data, known as NetFlow data, collected in bulk by a private company, according to internal FBI documents obtained by Motherboard. The documents provide more insight into the often overlooked trade of internet data. Motherboard has previously reported that the U.S. Army's and the FBI's purchase of such data. These new documents show the purchase was for the FBI's cyber division, which investigates hackers in the worlds of cybercrime and national security. Again, here's this little noble motive. We got to catch them hackers. It's them hackers. Nobody likes a hacker, right? Commercially provided NetFlow information, 2 months of service, the internal document reads. Motherboard obtained the file through a FOIA request with the FBI. Do you work at a company that handles NetFlow data? Do you work with an ISP distributing that data? Or do you know anything else about the trade or use of NetFlow data? We'd love to hear from you. Using a non-work phone or your computer, you can contact Joseph Cox Security on Signal at blah 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 Wicker on Joseph Cox. Or, yeah. NetFlow data creates a picture of traffic volume and flow across the network. It can include which server communicated with another, information easily available on to the owner of that server, or ISP carrying that traffic. Team, the company ultimately selling the data to the FBI, obtains it from deals with ISPs by offering them threat intelligence in return. These deals are likely conducted without the informed consent of ISPs, of the ISP's users. So if you've got an internet service provider, they're trading the government, right? They're not even selling it to them, right? It's like a trade. Like, yeah, you can have this info. Sure. We don't care about their privacy. What are they going to do? Cancel the internet? Well, here's what you can do. Call your lawmakers. Call your congressmen. Tell them, hey, guess what? I know about the FBI getting my data. I know that people in the government are violating my civil rights. I've got the right to privacy. I know that we live in a digital world. That doesn't mean you can spy on me. I'm a terrorist. Brings me to our last story. TikTok generation, a CCP individual in every pocket. Oh, you think? Every day that TikTok is allowed to operate in the United States is another day that China can collect data on American citizens and sharpen its ability to exploit them, especially young people. The more that TikTok becomes embedded in U.S. society, the harder it will be to uproot. Even so, there will be another TikTok. Without implementing a systemic, risk-based framework to proactively address the next TikTok now, the U.S. will have ceded yet another critical digital battle space to its adversaries. More so, U.S. policymakers have a duty to safeguard America's social fabric and protect its young citizens from the whims of hostile a foreign nation. Spoken my piece on the news, or what I think is important. Let's go out to your calls. Pilot Chi in Oklahoma. We don't know what you're on about, but we want to hear from
good
you.
Good morning, Matt.
What's going on?
Well, just sitting up here 1,000 feet off the ground flying the airplane again. I listen to Harrison every morning while I'm out here doing my pipeline patrol and calling every now and then, and always has a hard time hearing me. So this time I got a new noise-canceling microphone for the headset, and hopefully you'll be able to hear me better. I've been a listener of Alex since 2003, and I've never really felt completely hopeless, like we have no chance whatsoever, until listening to him yesterday. It just sounds like he's really on the fence about whether we should be supporting Donald Trump or not. And, you know, let me tell you this quick story. In 2020, in the summertime, I got so emotionally upset about all the news coverage, negative news coverage that Donald Trump was getting, and all the riots that were going on and the fires in the cities. I actually one day packed up my car with some poster boards, some markers, and a suitcase, and I started driving to Washington, D.C. My wife thought that I was crazy. She was about to divorce me. I was crying. I was like, no, we got to go support our president. You know, so I've been somebody that I was willing to give up my marriage at one time for Donald Trump. I would have taken a bullet for the guy. I'm sick of him. He didn't do anything for the January 6th folks who had been rotting in prison. He didn't lock anybody up. He didn't take... I mean, if people don't know by now, but he's just a scripted part of the show, you're insane. And so, you know, we've got this ad going on InfoWars right now, Alex for president, and I really think at this point, what do we got to lose? I think the Info Warriors should throw our support behind Alex. I mean, I'd rather vote for Alex than Donald Trump for any day. I think he'd do a better job, and I really think that we shouldn't be taking that ad as a joke. I think we should take it serious and maybe run with it.
Hey, man. Pilot, let me... You know, it's funny that you say that. You know, I had some comments. I'm glad I held my tongue, you know, and heard you out there.
You know, you commented yesterday on Alex's idea of supporting Donald Trump. And for a lot of people, I would have to ask the question, whether it's Alex Jones or whether it's a random newsman on the MSM, do we need to be told who we need to support?
No. Right. No, we don't. And I think you're right. That's how we got to this problem in the first place.
Well,
need a savior. That's human nature.
It is. That is a lot of psychology right there. In what you just said, right? There is a lot of psychology there. We need a hero, right? That's one aspect. Another aspect is again this perception of viability. It's huge. It is so huge. And you know, one of the things that I saw in the 2016 election, which I kind of thought was hilarious, was, you know, a lot of the MSM pundits, you know, when we watched these Republican debates, they would always claim Donald Trump was the winner of that debate, right? It's like, how do you even quantify that, first off? Second off, Donald Trump, he may have had some of the most talk time because everybody was trying to dunk on him. And, you know, he was, you know, kind of, you know, people had some good, you know, and he had a couple of, you know, one-liners at a couple of people. But, you know, when you talk about it, it's like, I don't think anybody won those debates, right? It's kind of mindless. A lot of them were very mindless, you know? And, you know, it's tough to have a debate between two people, let alone 16 people on stage, which is what they were doing, right? It's not intelligent, right? It's not. People ask me, like, oh, what did you think about the debate? I'm like, oh, did I really even care about the debate? Because I think a lot of the issues, you know, if you really care about the issues, you really do need to turn to the print media, right? That's where you're going to be able to digest things. It's where you're going to get a lot more detail. Now, in terms of Alex Jones for president, you know, Alex is a huge listening audience. You know what Alex Jones could do? Alex Jones put Donald Trump into the White House in 2016. I think that is not actually like a controversial statement. I think that's, you know, Alex was super popular. Now here's the deal. Here's what Alex could do for America. If Alex Jones runs for president and he's popular enough to get enough votes, right? Maybe he wins. You know, it's never say never. Maybe he wins. Maybe he doesn't win, right? But maybe if he doesn't win, he gets enough votes. Maybe they're protest votes. Maybe we can even solicit his campaign as, hey, are you fed up with the choice between a giant douche and a turned sandwich? Well, protest vote with Alex Jones. And Alex Jones would be like the perfect write-in name, right? It's hard to misspell Alex Jones, AlexJones, right? It's hard to misspell that. That's like the perfect write-in name. And so here's the deal. Alex could get enough votes to get a third political party on the ticket in practically every state. He's that popular, right? He's that infamous. He's that well-known, right? That if he could found his own political party, call it the People's Party of America, right? Call it the Party for Sanity with Alex Jones, right? And we put him on, if we can get enough votes for him, right? If he can get a small percentage of the votes in every state, the next election cycle, they'll have to put that candidate, that group on the ballot, right? For ballot access. Hey, that'd be pretty cool, right? Got a lot of thoughts on third party candidates, right? I hate it. I love the idea of it, but I hate calling it a third party candidate because I think in our minds, right, we've been trained to accept that a third party candidate means a third place candidate, right? Isn't that one of the craziest things, right? We can all have a conversation with people about libertarian values, and that tends to be a conversation that brings people together, and yet people are unwilling to pull, you know, the lever, punch the ticket, you know, vote for the Libertarian candidate. Isn't that crazy?
I voted for Ron Paul in 2008. I voted third party. Absolutely. Like, wrote his name in. Yep.
Of course. Of course.
I don't believe with
you mean in 2012.
Like the lesser of two evils.
You mean in 2012, though, for Ron Paul.
It must have been 2012. Yeah. Whenever he was running for president. Yeah, I think 2012, you're right.
We did the same thing.
No, I think it's retarded to vote straight party or vote down the ticket or vote for the lesser of two evils. I hate that. And to hear Alex talking like that's what we're almost going to have to do again this time, it's so disheartening.
Right. You know, another thing that's also a little disheartening, right, when you talk about people who vote, you know, straight ticket and stuff like that, it's interesting because we get a lot of people who vote straight ticket because they're naive as to who is in the field, you know, for what position. You know, a lot of these people, it's like, oh, well, you know, I want a Democrat to win, but I've never heard of these candidates, and I actually don't even know about the office that they're running for, right? I've been there. Dirty little secret, I'll admit it, right? I've been there. And you move into 2016 when everything got hyper-politicized, right? And now everybody's a political expert, yet we all know nothing, huh? Kind of... It makes me believe that it's our fault, right? It's our fault that the country is in the state that it's in right now. We just have to take responsibility. Maybe that's it. All right, guys, we're going out to your calls. I'm a long call taker. If I take your call, just be prepared to talk to me for a few minutes, okay? We're going to chit-chat. Andrew in New York, you called in about three-letter agencies. What are you on about today, Andrew?
Hey, you were talking before about the data mining that the intelligence
FBI
agencies are doing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And, I mean, they're very corrupt right now. They pretty much work for the globalist. I mean, the IRS and the ATF, they're unconstitutional, like, just as it is. And all the Color Revolution, the CIA, and all these different agencies. And then you look at, like, the health agencies and what they did. Like, DARPA's not really, I guess, that well known, but they're a major intelligence agency too that had election interference and had the I guess what you would say the virus, even though I don't think viruses are real. They created the bioweapon too, along with a bunch of other agencies. So yeah, I think they need to be
curtailed.
Most of them have not gotten rid of, or at least like 90% of them fired and the rules changed about how they operate.
Yeah, I mean, that's the struggle, right? I mean, in the last call when we were talking about political candidates, you know, we're looking for people who are going to do the right thing. And I think that's what's so enticing about Donald Trump, right, is this prospect of a candidate who's going to make changes to these agencies that are out of control, that are like runaway, that are like so secretive the president doesn't even know about them, right? Just listening back to the Pentagon's Brain by Annie Jacobson, just, you know, the fact that the president, Truman, didn't even know about nukes until it was time to nuke, you know, that's crazy. And just some of the other little details, right? That, like, the Nevada testing grounds, right, which is, you know, this area where you've got Area 51. There was so much power draw. It was equivalent to all of the power draw in Las Vegas, and yet nobody knew. They were able to keep that amount of electricity, right, the amount of money that it took to generate that electricity. They made sure that journalists didn't even really look into it. That's crazy. Like, a whole city's worth of power draw, right? And they were able to hide that from, you know, the government, the American public. Yeah, no, they're out of control. And actually, speaking about three-letter agencies, Jim Jordan demands docs after IRS attempt to intimidate journalist Matt Taibbi during government weaponization hearing. Crazy, right? It's almost like you're on to something, Andrew.
Yeah, if you look at, like, the Palestine, Ohio train derailment and how, what's the agency called again? The EPA.
EPA, yeah.
EPA. They think their job, I guess, is to just deal with fake made-up problems like carbon and stuff, not real, like chemical warfare caused by major train derailments. They took, like, weeks to even show up there.
Right. Well, I mean, it was a delayed response, right? I don't know about weeks, multiple weeks. I think it took multiple weeks for someone like Pete Buttigieg or Joe Biden to show up. But, yeah, no, the response, they got criticized for that response, right? It's tough. We were in a lose-lose situation. But a lot of times, right, the EPA gets involved. And let's talk about, like, the oil spill in the Gulf that happened sometime in the early 20-aughts. Trying to think of this BP oil spill. When was that? Guys, look that up. I'm losing my mind. But essentially what happened was, you know, you had this oil which was sitting on top of the Gulf, which is really only affecting, you know, like 6 to 8 feet of top water, if you will, in the Gulf. Ooh, I got a cup on the table. Guys, I'm drinking water. Don't tell anybody.
Nord Stream just happened too. It was like an oil spill.
Right. And so that's actually natural gas. The deal is that there were chemicals added. Oh, 2010. There we go. So not quite a 20-aught. But yeah, Deepwater Horizon. There's tons of stuff on the internet that's super fascinating about how they botched this. Like, you know, from the inspections to the, you know, skirting of regulations to the yada yada. But, you know, the issue here was that it was horrible press for the Obama administration, right? And, you know, there were optics which were really bad. You saw, you know, all of this marine life that had been affected by this oil, and it's tragic because you got birds dying, you know, in oil, and you've got, you know, just the oil out, right, on the Gulf. It just looks bad. So they sprayed this, they flew over it and they sprayed this chemical that bonded with the oil, causing it to sink. And when it's out of sight, it's out of mind. But the problem is that then caused that oil to contaminate and destroy a lot of the ecosystem underneath the Gulf. And so it became a much more widespread issue. And, you know, you had all these things like these fish that were bottom feeders and things like that, varieties of fish that developed these crazy cancers, you know, tumors, things like that. And, it affected practically every facet of life for people living on the Gulf. So, yeah, a lot of times these government agencies get involved and they don't necessarily make things better. And that's maybe one of the things that's frustrating, you know, when we talk to people who are super pro-government, right? They don't even know that they're super pro-government. They just trust the government to do what they even say they're going to do. And it's okay to give people the benefit of the doubt or to understand that people are coming from a good place, but to also understand that it's people in the government. And sometimes, you know, the government doesn't have the most efficient or the best solution in mind. So just convincing people of that, you know what I mean? That right there, if you can talk to people about that and maybe, you know, give them an example like this, right? This oil spill and things like that. That's a great way to wake someone up, right? Hey, you know, the government's not actually your friend. Like, I know that you're wanting the government to redistribute a whole bunch of wealth, give everybody free healthcare, but what if I told you that that meant that everyone's going to get really bad healthcare? It sounds like a good idea, right? Free healthcare for everybody. It works in other countries. Why can't it work here? Well, there's a variety of reasons, right? We're very, there is so much diversity in the United States, you know, in terms of health, right? We're not talking about superficial diversity. Well, I mean, I suppose it is to a degree.
Like in Canada, you ration. they ration the health care a lot in Canada, but...
Right. Oh, you know what? I actually have a neighbor who's a Canadian citizen who lives here in Austin, and she went up for a surgery on her thumb, but she had been waiting for that surgery in Canada for over a year.
Yeah, like you're saying, too, like, yeah, obviously there's government overreach, but there's supposed to be, like, three branches, and what they do is they use these agencies, I guess, due to, like, the illegal things that the government is trying to, like, hide, I guess.
Of course. Of course, right? There's always...
Hey, look at, like,
There's always...
Look at what, like, the CIA did. Look at what, like, the CIA did to, like, Kennedy and... FBI did to Kennedy and what they did to the crossfire hurricane with Trump. Like,
right.
They're framing people, all kinds of things.
Right.
So they,
yeah,
they
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that we couldn't get heads to roll. Even when, that's, you know what? Maybe that in and of itself, right? That's Donald Trump's biggest failure. His inability to prosecute or to, I mean, he literally had like the Trump card, if you will. Like, hey, you spied on my campaign and tried to frame me as a Russian agent. And guess what? The people that did that are now suing the FBI for wrongful termination. That's how good he was at draining the swamp. Everybody clap for Donald Trump right now. Clap for Donald Trump. Yep. Not saying he was a bad, I'm not saying he was a bad president. Just saying he probably wouldn't be a good president in the future. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining me on the American Journal. It's Matt Weber filling in for Harrison Smith. You can tell my coffee has started to kick in. Speaking a lot faster, making more sense, coherent sentences, things like that. Before we go back out to your calls, I do want to remind you that InfoWarsStore.com is definitely the place that you want to go to get them deals, okay? There are things out there, right, that can help you lead a healthier lifestyle. We're all a few very small changes away from being the person we want to be. And what can help you with those small changes? Well, have you given a supplement a thought? Maybe you have. Maybe you're on couple of supplements. Maybe you don't like coffee and vitamin B12 is your thing. We typically sell that at the InfoWarsStore.com. That's not on special. It's just a thing. We've also got other supplements that'll help you. Vitamin D. That's kind of a, I don't want to say it's a catch-all, but vitamin D deficiency tends to be a big factor in a lot of disease. You can find vitamin D in many forms at the InfoWarsStore.com. We've also got other survival essentials such as air, water filtration, air and water filtration, and storable food. So those are things that you can use to lead a healthier lifestyle and get peace of mind. How great is that? Peace of mind. Now with that, we're going to be going out, back out to your phone calls. Kim in Wisconsin has been holding. We were actually just talking about environmental catastrophes, and it looks like Kim is calling in about the train derailments and what's really going on. Kim, what's going on?
Good morning. God bless us all. I have three things I'd like to say quick. One is, if a plane does not fly, it cannot spread poison. If a boss is bad, he can be fired. Bad guys are in tanks underground. Do not let them out. To keep this happening, expecting change, is that not insanity? As soon as the strong men and women rise and stand, the weak men and women will fall and crumble. Then we win, faith, and love you all. Second thing is, and Alex can use that if he wants, I believe words are powerful. Mm-hmm. The second thing is on the same subject, because it all kind of works together. If Greg Reese could do a report on the railroads, and if he could find a way to make any of his reports printable, because when you hand somebody a piece of paper and they can go read it whenever they want, they're more apt to read it than to say, go to this website. You know, I just, And then,
are you telling me that
to the railroads?
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead. I believe that you have to look back at what Biden's executive orders and when he does something that's bad for us, always.
Okay.
So when he went and made the railroad station, railroad workers stay working without really giving them anything that they asked for, and they're so run down, they're so now chemically treated by all this. If we could get half of them, or if not all of them, to walk off the job until it's safe, I know what it's going to do to the economy, but they're doing it anyways. So they're polluting our waters, and they're with forever chemicals. They started with the train derailments. Then all of a sudden, all of these semis showed up on railroad tracks parked. And then when the first one didn't really do much, then they put one there loaded with I-beams. Well, of course, that one's going to do something. And they're doing this. And if you could plot the locations of where they're doing this over and over and over again, you can see, I think, where they want to live and where they want us to live.
There is definitely a purposeful neglect of infrastructure that we can say for sure. Thank you for tuning in to the American Journal. We're taking your calls. We're going to get right back to it. Nathan in Michigan wants to talk about a certain representative who's never responded to him. Let's put this guy on blast. His name is, looks like John Molinar. Molinar? Moonbeam? John Moonbeam? What is his name? Nathan, let's put him on blast.
Hey there. Good morning, Matt.
Hey,
how you
doing, Nathan? Doing great.
Well, his name is John Molinar, and he sits on the committee that gives money to the FDA, gives money to Ukraine for a lot of things. He actually was a representative. I live in small towns, population 2,300 people. So where I live is in central part of lower Michigan. We're a rural area. The southern part of Michigan's lower peninsula is all the libtards. That is where the bad part of Michigan is. And it's frustrating sometimes because we're losing this beautiful state to those people, and it really sucks. So John Molinar, I have been calling him 2016. My mother actually helped get him elected. She did a meet and greet in Coleman, Michigan, and he now has an office in Clare, Michigan. I sent him videos on the FDIC, on all that, 2 months before the bank crisis began. He got back to me and said he's monitoring it. I called him about January 6th. He said he's monitoring it. I called him back after they announced they're going to arrest another 1,200 people. I have been repeatedly asking for a town hall meeting. I actually had worked with Tom Norton that was running against him last year, almost primaried him. He got 35,000 votes. John Molinar got 60,000 votes. And I told him, I says, if you're not going to do nothing, I'm going to stand outside your office. And people in Michigan need to go to Clare, Michigan, and we have got to push this guy.
Hell yeah.
We have got to get him to open up and start talking about this because he controls the purse spring. And he has never, he sends me letters through email, but he will not call me. He will not do nothing because he's scared. He's a coward. He brags about how he's so great at getting people their disability payments and stuff like that. And I said, I don't care about the few people that you get their disability payments for. I care about the people in our districts that are getting hurt by the FDA. And I would lay out, you know, I'm like, do you realize there's no doctors on the board that passes this stuff and you're still giving them money? So, and not only that, there's a thing going on in Michigan. They're talking about putting these stupid wind towers in our Great Lakes. And where I live, I have worked on these wind tower projects for nearly 5 years around here, and our skyline is destroyed. It is absolutely disgusting. I no longer work for the company that worked with this. I used to help build the roads to bring all these in, and they're just a big scam. They stole all our money with this, and people don't realize what's going to happen because we also have Big Rapids, Michigan, that's about a 40-minute drive from where I live, is where they want to put that Chinese building. They want to give that 1 mile property to that Chinese company. And all these wind towers are owned by foreign companies, and nobody realizes that.
Mm.
And all we have around here is consumers' energy. It's a monopoly for electricity in this place. And all that electricity actually goes down to DTE in Detroit. None of that electricity that they do with these windmills are given to the central part of Michigan. It's all sent to a different grid.
Mm. Tell me about so the Nathan, real quickly. This is, first off, this is the type of caller that I'm always super excited to take. Someone who understands their district and is coming to InfoWars talking about their representatives. Dude, Nathan, good on you, first off. Second off, do you know of anybody running against Molinar in the next election? Who's a candidate you should support?
If Tom Norton, I haven't talked with him again yet, but he said last year that he was going to get more money and run again this year.
Tom
so
Norton?
So that's who I voted for. Yep, he's a war vet. He is a straight shooter with everything.
Let's bow
right on the same page.
I'm just giving crew notes that we're running with a limited crew today. I know that they're working on it. I'm just double checking.
You guys are awesome crew, man. Dude, you guys,
CJ and Sean right now are locking it down.
Yeah. And he was a guy that, and I actually, and so in August of 21, we went to the Great Awaken tour in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And that's where I became a Christian. After that, that moved me so much. And I've been part of InfoWars since 2006. I've been beat up for my ideas repeatedly. I'm willing to go out there and scream at the top of my lungs. I drive around with a sticker in my back window that says InfoWars, live free or die.
Right on.
And I live by that motto every day. And people, and it's funny because when you're in little towns, people are afraid to speak the truth. They don't want to be judged by other people.
They don't want to judge. They want to get along, right? Because in smaller towns.
Yeah, until you're dead.
Yeah, yeah. And, and that's the thing. You know, I'm from a smaller town as well. I understand that, you know, when you live in a smaller town, everybody knows everybody, and it's best to be polite. You know, I totally get that. And, you know, it takes a real maverick to go against the grain. But I think a lot of times those people are respected, right?
Yep. Yeah, oh, definitely. And I've had my wife now because I had met her before when I got red pilled 2006.
Mm.
That was where my red pill moment began. And when I met my wife in 2008, I started introducing her to it, and we're all on the same page, and we've been continuing to do all this stuff. And it's hard. I ain't going to lie. It's been a rough life after being red pilled, but I would rather be red pilled and know the truth and see what's coming than just wait until that bullet hits me and I don't know it's coming. You know, I don't understand why people are so willing to live in, you know, fantasy land. And right. Around here, you see a lot of it. And well, I dealt with that through.
You know, it's a thing, right? It is a real thing, right? Talk about escapism, right? And what makes movies and TV so alluring, right, is that it takes people out of their everyday life where, again, a lot of the battles that we put ourselves in, not necessarily battles that we put ourselves in, a lot of the problems in today's world, they seem insurmountable. They seem like you've got a bigger foe. It's David versus Goliath, and it's not David versus Goliath because a lot of times people don't have faith, right? Without faith, David wouldn't have been able to conquer Goliath, right? That's
correct.
One of the bigger things that people oftentimes, right, neglect about to recognize about that story, right, is that David needed the faith, right, to get through that.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say about a lot of these problems and a lot of this escapism, right, I can understand it. I can understand it. Breaking people free of that, right, it requires getting a group together, because if you can get a group together, right, of a few people, right, then you start, that's what the government fears. The government wants to atomize all of us, make us feel like we're alone, right? And once they do that, you're never going to challenge them because they're Goliath. They know where they're at. They're on the beat down, right, in this equation.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm going to, Nathan, what's the biggest town in the second district? What's the biggest municipality?
The biggest, oh boy, you got, so when they redistrict it, he has a huge, so it goes from Bay City all the way across the state to the other, from Lake Huron to Lake Michigan.
Mm,
and it's
okay.
in basically the central part.
So this
and
is a
so
call.
The biggest,
this is a call for all info warriors in central Michigan. It's time to band up against John Molinar. And one more time, that candidate, I know we weren't able to find him right off the bat. We're doing a lot of things behind the scenes here. Who do you think
Tom
is
Hart.
A, Tom Hart?
Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N.
Norton. I'm sorry. I'm losing it.
Oh,
yeah. The coffee hasn't kicked in all the way yet. But Tom Norton.
He needs
Tom
turbo
Norton.
Force, man.
There we go. We got veteran Tom Norton.
I got some Turbo Force still stashed at my house.
Right. That stuff is crack. I have to avoid that. I get it is too much for me. I got to go to the bathroom after I take that. But hey, guys, on screen right here, we got Tom Norton. Sorry, the crew's great. I'm bad. Tom Norton is who people in Central Michigan, if you are listening to InfoWars right now, you need to get involved with Tom Norton's campaign. Let him know that you support him. You can do so with your dollars, but also by spreading the word. Band together. We're taking your calls. I am interested in taking a call next from Jefferson from Virginia. Let's talk about the lawnmower, man. The real problem with ChatGPT. You've piqued my interest. What's going on,
Good
Jefferson?
Morning, Matt.
Morning.
Yeah, have you seen Lawnmower Man?
I have
from
not
1992?
Seen... No. Okay.
It's like a precursor to Transcendence with Johnny Depp. Anyway, it basically is a case where they use an enhanced intelligence to make a stupid person become like a god, and he basically wants to take over the world because he knows better than everybody else.
Mm.
And I see the only really good application for ChatGPT being, I don't know if you've watched many congressional hearings lately, but nobody that's being questioned by the Republicans ever can answer a question. All they ever say is, well, I'll have to get back to you on that.
Isn't
and
that
in this
worst?
Day and age, they have the capability of contacting their office with their phone and finding out the information in real time. But they don't want to do that either. They want to be able to submit their answer in writing at a later date if they ever get around to doing that. But if we had ChatGPT hooked into all these different agencies that already have digitization of all their information, congressperson could have like a robot sitting next to the witness that would answer the question that the witness does not want to answer using ChatGPT. That's the only good application for it I can come up with is the computers could basically rat these people out if they have questions they don't want to answer.
I definitely get what you're. I definitely get what you're putting down. Yeah, no, it's crazy. And you know what? Actually, I'm glad I took your call because now I want to put out a call. How can we as InfoWarriors use ChatGPT to disrupt the New World Order? How can we do that? How can we do that? Okay. If you guys have any bright ideas, call me. My brain's still getting up to speed. But yeah, okay. That's good food for thought, Jefferson. That's good food for thought. Yeah, hold
if
these
I could
people.
Just
you know, sure.
Your response to me yesterday. Yes, natural-born citizens may not be the best people in the world, and certainly we have got lots of traitors amongst the natural-born citizens.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean we should just eradicate the rule and say it doesn't matter anymore.
You're
we
right.
should be able to,
it's a
right?
safeguard.
Be
it's
able
a safeguard
to,
for a reason.
Yeah, but and it's failing as a safeguard because we're letting down our guard to begin with. But as I say, if we would have the discussion about how we need to change Article 2 to accommodate good people like Vivek Ramaswamy, that would be another way to bring up the issue. But you know, if you call Ken Paxton on the air, just call his office on the while you're on the air and see if they'll set up a meeting with you about Article 2 violations. Just, you know, cold call them and see what they had to say would be funny.
Yeah. Okay.
Interesting use of your time at some point where you just see what their reaction would be. When I talk to staffers in the AG's office all around the country, they want to argue about the 14th Amendment, thinking somehow that changed natural-born citizenship Article 2 requirements. So obviously everybody's been hoodwinked by the educational system to believe something that's not true. But just to hear them say it on your airwaves would be interesting. So thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for giving us a call. Jefferson.
Right.
Always glad to hear from you. All right. We are going with that. We are going out to World Changes for Christ from California. Wants to applaud Owen for attending a certain rally yesterday.
Oh, yeah. So I just wanted to give a shout out to your whole crew and you as well. Like, thank you so much for hosting something like this because, like, you know, like there's a bunch of suppression going on with the government, how that, you know, but you guys are at least fighting against it. You guys are getting shut down with your band, you know, your website, you know, all the above, but you guys are still flourishing. So I just wanted to encourage you guys on that. Like, I'm telling all my friends about you guys because we need to start standing up in armies, peacefully, of course, you know, but we need to have more because when you have more of something, you can do something together. When there's one person saying it, even if it's true, it's not going to get done more than likely because there's no one coming around them to help support them in these times. But I really wanted to talk about Owen Stroyer yesterday. Man,
yeah,
that guy
was watching it on screen. If you guys are listening to this and not watching it, and these are just the highlights. I wonder, oh boy. Oh boy, it's Owen doing Owen things. All right.
Owen is so awesome, man.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was so encouraged by him going against that guy named Van.
Definitely very brave for going to this, right?
Yeah, I mean, because it's so funny how they would try to infiltrate Christianity by singing these Christian songs, but they're forcing these kids into pedophilia. They're forcing these kids to kill themselves when they get older. Like, this is so ridiculous. I can't believe this stuff is going on. And it's happening in our government offices. It's happening in our government schools. It's happening in public schools. Everywhere you look, we are being infiltrated. Like, it is so disgusting. And God in heaven, God Almighty, Jesus Christ Almighty, like he says, when my people call out and cry out and repent of their sins, he will heal our land. Please, everyone, let God heal our land. Let's forgive each other. Let's repent. Let's turn away. Let's all stand against this evil, destruction, and ban with InfoWars. On top of that, guys, I don't have too much money. I don't have a best of a job. I'm disabled. It really sucks. I was dealt a bad hand. But you know what? I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm the black sheep in a good way. I'm the guy that always went to church. I'm the guy that always helped people out. I didn't do drugs. I didn't drink. I didn't go sleep around all the time. Like, I'm a straight Christian. Like, I don't even judge other people. If you're doing drugs, if you're doing something, I will come alongside you and try to help you get out of it nicely, peacefully, lovingly. That's what we need here. And that's what you guys are spreading. And I love you guys for that. So, like, back to what I was saying. I don't have too much money. I'm actually in debt because I'm constantly buying products from you guys.
Okay.
And I really
okay,
want
hold on, hold on, hold on.
Product.
World changes, let me tell you. All right. If you don't have money, you don't necessarily need to go to InfoWarsStore.com. We would appreciate prayers and spreading, you know, links to our information. Please don't ever go into debt on our behalf. We do appreciate, you know, when you find something at InfoWarsStore.com that works and works for you. But if you can't afford it, you know, definitely, there are other ways to get involved with the InfoWar, right?
I totally agree. But can I say something on that? So in James chapter 2, it says, if a homeless man comes to you or a homeless woman comes to you and they ask you for food or anything of those natures, and you say, be warm, go home and be filled, but you give them nothing for their daily necessities that they actually need to take care of themselves, what has that man or woman actually profited? They haven't gained nothing. So works without faith is dead. So I'm going off faith with Jesus Christ. God has always provided for me.
Thank you for joining us today. All right, Lane. We got Lane in Texas here. And Lane, you want to talk about the news that I don't want to talk about. So Lane, what's going on?
Well, man, actually, can I do a plug real quick?
I'm not going to hold you back.
All right. Well, first of all, I know when you get on in the morning, man, you got a little sluggish of the mind, and
yeah.
So all I wanted to do is offer a cocktail that I call the three wise, not like not like the three wise men that you get on Sixth Street, you know, the Jaeger, the 151, and the Goldschlager mixed together. But this is like a holistic clarity, you know, for the map territory relation, the fog of war, shock and awe that takes place in your mind's eyes, pineal gland.
Okay.
And it makes it easier to have your senses exercised in it. But what I like doing is I take the X2 and the X3 survival shield, whatever one I got, and I'll take a dropper of it. And then I'll take a couple of Brain Force Plus capsules. I break them open. I pour them in my mouth, and I wash them down with a couple of droppers of Brain Force Ultra. And man,
wowzers!
Like there's no, oh yeah, dude. There's no. It clears up the brain fog to an extent that there's not like that digital analog, entropical effect that you'd get in cybernetics. You know, where you get the polarization that takes place. Like you have a thought, and it's just like you reach for it, and boom, it's right there.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah, you know, the afternoons I usually take a little X2. I take one drop.
I take one drop
of the X2 and I mix it with down at my we got a health food store around here called Natural Grocers. Stroll on down to Natty Grocers.
Very familiar with Natural Grocers.
Yeah, Natty Grocers is cool. I like grocery stores that don't serve alcohol. I think that that's respectable, and or they don't sell alcohol, right? I think that's cool. But anyways, I buy trace mineral drops, and one of the minerals that are not in the trace mineral drops, a good little cocktail of things like selenium, all the things, the magnesium, you know, all the trace minerals that have been denatured. They're not in our food anymore. Well, I mix that with the drop of X2 because if you didn't know, when you're taking X2 is iodine. Now we're going to talk about supplements for like 5 minutes. That's okay. X2 is very, very potent. Our nascent iodine is the best. It's a great source of iodine. And if you are not in a phase where you're doing iodine loading, you don't necessarily need the three drops. The three drops are great if you are first getting into iodine and you feel that you are iodine nutrition or you deficient, or you've been told by a healthcare provider that you are iodine deficient. You start building up your body's stores of iodine by overloading it with three drops, which is what is on the bottle. It's 333% of your daily value if you look at the label. And it is a safe dosage to take 300%. What your body doesn't absorb, you just pee out. But after you've been taking iodine for a while, you can pretty much just coast at about a drop because all you need from our very high quality, very pure iodine is a drop. And you can essentially make a bottle of X2 last a year. And while that means we're selling less product, it means that there's more available for other people, right, to get their X2 and to be able to get it at a great price. So, again, you can get those iodine supplements, the finest iodine supplements, as soon as they're back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they are so popular. Hey, by the way, for those of you who do like the iodine, there's a little thing called AutoShip. You can choose how frequently you get these products sent to you, and they're never out of stock. You don't have to worry about that because we do the calculus behind the scenes. We figure out how much we need for our store and then how much we should set aside whenever we do make these batches to ensure that they are fresh. So you end up getting high quality iodine. You don't even have to worry about ordering it. So you're saving time and money because you get a 10%. I think AutoShip gives you a 10% discount on top of the best price that it's available at. So it is seriously like we say it's a 360 win. It's like a 720 win because then you just don't even have to worry about it. Just it'll come to you every so often. It's the way to be. Anyways, beyond the supplement talk, we love supplements. They do. Hey, they increase my quality of life, but it works for me. May work for other people too. Just got to give it a try. Lane, what you want to talk about the school shooter?
I did. And the only thing I'd add to your supplement talk, too, is that I really appreciate the idea about sparing it to where other people have access to the survival shield as well. My only thing I would add to that is you need to talk to Owen, because he's literally fondling and hodling all the Brain Force Plus and Brain Force Ultra with Diamond Hands. And it's tough.
Yeah,
for the
I've seen those commercials. This is InfoWars. That is, it's funny that like, we do have products here, that we have for like desks and stuff like that. Like, you know, we if a host wants to talk about their favorite product, yeah, we've got some available, but, it turns into this thing where like, you know, people have, you know, had a long day or, you know, yada, yada, and they start coming for that Brain Force first. What I can tell. I can always tell those bottles are a little light. You know, you pick up the bottle and you don't hear anything shaking around. You're like, okay, this is literally just a prop now. And that it's kind of funny. That's where I think some of the ideas for those commercials came from. We used to have a big problem with that.
Necessity is the mother of all invention, right?
Okay. What?
I said necessity is the mother of all invention, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to say on a more serious note is I wanted to, first of all, what took place in Nashville yesterday was an act of, you know, fear and intimidation of domestic terrorism. You got, you know, a female, you know, transgender dressed up like, you know, Dylan or Robert Klebold going into a school and shooting up a Christian school, shooting up, you know, innocent, you know, children. And, you know, people that work there. And what I want to call into remembrance, you know, is first I want to honor the victims that were there, you know, and God bless them, and we pray for them and their families, you know, and their classmates, and, you know, fellow coworkers as well. But I want to call to remembrance the Robert Cremo, you know, July the 4th shooter, you know, that also killed 7 people at the parade in Parkland, Illinois last year. Which ironically, it also planned, once he left that, to go to Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, to another parade and do a shooting there as well, which I find ironic, considering not only that he was, you know, found picture dressed up in drag, but given the Kyle Rittenhouse, you know, acquittal at the end of July 2001, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse had the self-defense in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and then went home in Illinois, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so This domestic terrorist, Robert Cremo, who's also dressed up in drag, you know, did like a reverse mirroring of that, where he attacked at the Illinois parade, and he was also going to attack in the Wisconsin parade.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's and now you're finding out with this new shooter, you know, maps, and, you know, I mean, there was definitely a plan in both of these cases.
Of course, yeah. Either. No, it was definitely premeditated, which is so sad. I've got a lot to say about this, but we're headed to a break, and Lane, we'll keep you over, and we'll talk about this tragic situation on the other side. We are talking to Lane in Texas about a school shooter, and I want to talk to you guys about having all the answers. There's a reason why we turn to the news. We hate the news, right? The news sucks. Why do we turn to it? Well, there's a point in everyone's lives where they turn their brains off. It's called going to sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, things may have changed in the world around you. So your mind is grasping for certainty, right? Which is why we turn to the news. Right? We want to know what's going on in the world around us, how to make sense of the world, right? News has shifted to a place where pundits have, you know, started giving opinions more often, right? And they try to be the people who we turn to for the answers, but they're not. And I'm not. Okay? It's one of these things. Right? To get into the mind of someone who is willing to commit a mass shooting, something you just, you know, if you're not you probably just can't understand. We can talk about it, right? But what good does that do, really, right? I think the biggest takeaway here is just for people to remain vigilant in terms of paying attention to warning signs, right? I know this is a little too late here, or at least Audrey Hale's friend, right? Probably feels horrible, right? That she received a text message from her friend before she was going to go commit a mass shooting. She said, I don't want to live, but you'll probably see it on the news. And not just, you're going to see me on the news. Something bad is going to happen today. Now, I know that nobody wants to be a tattletale. Nobody wants to be the person who cries wolf or gets, you know, involved. Folks, if you're out there and you're listening, right, here's how we work on preventing the next mass shooting. It's not by banning guns, right? Evil will find a way. Okay? Right? Message friend minutes before massacre, right? And you're thinking to yourself, what can the friend do? Right? What can the friend do? And, you know, her friend may very well have, I've read some about this, but it's always a major downer, right? In my mind, there are some people who, you know, mass shooting comes up, they can't stop gawking at it, whatever. But, the signs, someone texts you that ever. Number one, immediately call emergency services. Say, listen, I've got a friend. This is their number. You need to locate them. They are a suicide risk. If not, a potential homicide risk, right? This is something that is very serious, right? That's the number one thing you do when you get that. If it's, you know, let's say it's something less obvious, right? There's a cry for help typically before this, right? It's important for you to reach out to that person's, you know, family and friends as well and let them know, hey, this person's going through a really difficult time in their life. We don't need to show the videos, guys. I appreciate it. The crew's always, you know, super good at putting on screen, you know, what we're talking about, but school shooters suck and we're not gonna, well, I would not like to do that today. You know, the thing is that, we need to start reaching out to people, right? We can say, I've heard so many takes on this, you know, in other media yesterday afternoon. Oh yeah, you know, there's a trans thing, there's a trans component. I would say no, right? I'm so reluctant to start to describe, you know, even attribute that to someone, because again, it goes back to the golden rule, right? We know that a lot of mass shooters, for whatever reason, right, happen to be white males. We know that that's, you know, kind of an overwhelming demographic. I know that there are other mass shooters out there that don't make the news, that, you know, don't fit that description. The media loves a good, it's such a sick thing to say. The media loves a good white male shooter. But what I'm saying is that we don't like to attribute the actions of a bad individual onto a greater population. So, you know, I'm going to steer clear of that. What I'm going to say is that this person needed help. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it takes a community of people, right? And we're at a place in society where communities are breaking down, right? We are atomized, whether by design or whether it's an unintentional side effect, right, of all these things. Let's talk about dating apps, right? Got all these dating apps out there that, you know, let's say you're not getting matches, right? So you feel like you're not worth it or something like that. All the while, right, you're not even going out and talking to people. That's the sad thing about it, right? The sense that that causes people to break down. You've got these things like online church, which I'm super guilty of attending, right? That's not really community. It's a great way to kind of lose your contact with the outside world, right? There's lots of other stuff, right? You know, I'm sure all of you callers listening, all you people listening, you know, you've probably got your own examples of little aspects of society, right? Society is becoming ever more efficient, ever more streamlined. Soon, humans won't even ever have to contact each other ever for anything. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Orlando doing the paintball thing, right? And of course, a couple of times we had to swing into Mickey D's. Grab an oatmeal from Mickey D's in the morning. Occasionally we get that McGriddle. But news was that there's a fully AI McDonald's, right? That's going up. Like, it's going to be automated from start to finish. You order through a computer, like a touchscreen device, and then a machine makes your burger and spits it out to you perfectly. It'll be uniform. It'll be the same thing, right? There's also a really crappy McDonald's that we were going to. So, like, I think we were ready for the AI. But that's not their fault. Those people are working at kind of a crappy McDonald's. I wouldn't want to work there either. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that if we don't take steps now to reach out to people, to create community over something, to find common ground with people, more and more people will start to feel isolated and they will start to feel hopeless. When you are isolated and you are hopeless, what else do you have to do other than lash out, right? You know, it's on all of us to be understanding. And damn, Lane, I feel super bad because I'm taking your call and I'm just talking it up myself. But Lane, I'm going to give you the final words. We got a couple of seconds before we go to break. Is there anything I was missing there you'd like to add?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to kind of put forth, you know, an idea as far as how we can remedy it. And I also wanted to mention, you just brought up, you know, I was thinking of intersubjectivity would be the technical term, which is the shared perception between two or more people. Well, when you include like the social alienation of existing only in social media and potentially only communing with, you know, chat lines.
Okay, hold on. Lane, you obviously have way more to say, and I'm sorry, but hold on. We're picking up with you. All right, we are taking your calls, and we are talking about what everybody wants to talk about, I suppose. Making sense of a tragedy. We are trying to find solutions here to mental health crises across the United States, which is manifesting itself in the form of mass shootings. Lane in Texas was making some points before we went to break. Lane, if I could ask you to start over there, because we did get kind of caught up. You were talking about how we talk on social media. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was going to say you've got the concept of intersubjectivity, which is, you know, the shared perception, you know, of reality between, you know, two or more people.
Okay.
And it's really easy to get caught up and only exist in social media, especially when you add the potentiality of AI communicating with, you know, AI robots.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and you read like the books of the father of cybernetics, Norbert Wiener, there's a book called The Human Use of Human Beings, where Norbert Wiener talks about the entropical effects between what was intended to be intelligence amplification with cybernetics, and then the entropy was artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And essentially what can happen is you can get caught up in these these closed system feedback loops in AI. And I mean, it's real easy, you know, just to get caught up, you know, in a particular feedback loop or a thought contagion of self-affirmation when your perception that you came into it with was not founded in any real tangible reality that exists outside of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, it's the shock and awe. It's, you know, the shock and awe of reality when you get out into the world and you realize this world that you exist in social media is not actually the way it is. You know, you're totally confronted with it. And people get blown away.
Right.
It's like an out-of-body experience, I think, for a lot of these people. But what I wanted to actually talk about is perhaps an idea using the whole school choice plan and Second Amendment sanctuary states that we could potentially decentralize a lot of the power that our federal government has. Because ultimately, what we're calling this government, it isn't a government by and for the people. These are unjust judges that are tyrants they despise government. They don't want to do anything on behalf of the people. They act as a corporation. Their only real concern is to exclude liability and increase their own revenue. And the corruption is rampant. And the best thing that we can do is destroy the faith, first of all, in their financial institutions that fund their corruption. And then secondly, in their leaders, you know, that, you know, unjustly promote, you know, rampant wickedness. And one of the ways we do that is by getting the power back to the local municipalities and states. Now, Abbott's promoting like the school choice, you know, each student gets $8,000 that can follow them around to whatever school districts they want to. And I think that's a good idea because a lot of counties in the country are becoming Second Amendment sanctuary county, which when you pair up that funding and students coming into those, you know, schools, you can also start using that local funding, you know, through the property taxes and this $8,000 and these different things to help put teachers through a rigorous screening process like you know, a police officer would endure with, you know, incentives like, you know, additional pay or whatever, and have very qualified gun handling professionals that are in these schools also helping support local police. And helping keep our schools a lot safer. And if counties aren't willing to get on board with it, or cities, you know, if you have both of these things working in conjunction with one another, people can pick up their stuff and they can move to one of these counties or cities that are promoted.
Right. Right. That, you know, although you may not be able to identify the next mass shooter, you can protect yourself by trying to live in an area where they don't have as many gun-free zones, which are soft targets. Lane did make a good point there at the end of his call last segment. I just kind of want to echo a little bit of that. One of the things that has come out about this shooter, and again, hindsight bias is 20/20. But we do know that, unfortunately, the shooter had scoped out multiple places, and it has been reported that she chose the location that she chose because she figured it was a soft target, right? And we've come to a point where, again, I totally get that the people who are calling for, you know, the end of the Second Amendment, right? Taking away firearms, like they come from a good place, right? Do I believe that their idea is practical? I don't. I think it's as practical as taking away all of the nuclear weapons in the world. Yet that should be kind of a higher initiative for us. But, yeah, it's just one of those things that when you talk about a balance of power or something like that, right? Once something has been introduced and it is proliferated, it's very difficult to put it back in the box, right? And so what I'm getting at is that there are firearms out there, right, that people can get a hold of. How do you prevent that? Well, unfortunately, you need security out there. And hey, guess what? Security with firearms, That's a job that ChatGPT cannot take away. So, you know, I always talk about the crew, but here at InfoWars, we have amazing security. And we're lucky to have one of our security guards back from a little bit of a hiatus. And actually really glad to know that one of the security guards we had here, you know, excellent guy, always got along with him great, even though pretty sure he was watching me. Pretty sure. He actually left this job to go actually protect a school. So that is that's an awesome calling. And, you know, we wish him well in all of his endeavors, keeping everybody safe. Yeah. Yeah. And again, at the end of the day, we look at, the ways in which evil tries to hurt other people, innocent people, right? Just to make a statement, that is, I guess you could say the definition of evil, it's just incredibly selfish, right? And, you know, they're going to find a way, whether it's using a vehicle, a knife, a blunt object, a gun, they're going to commit some type of atrocity. And we can try as much as we can, but nobody's perfect. All right, we're going out to Bo Robinson in Asheville. You want to talk about something a little different, and I'm ready for it. I'm ready for a change of pace here. Bo, what are you on about?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for having me, sir.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
So, yeah. So, I'm a Christian conservative journalist. And for 25 years, I've been traveling the world learning about international geopolitics and writing and appearing on television about domestic politics.
Mm.
I want to talk about Miles Guo and what's going on right now with his illegal and unconstitutional incarceration.
Oh, interesting.
I think this is something...
Tell me
about... Yeah, it's being overlooked. It ties in very closely to how you started off your show with TikTok.
Mm.
And,
For those people who don't know who Guo is, he's a foreign national. He's a Chinese guy in exile. And yeah, he's been here in the United States, and he's been in cahoots with a lot of people. Steve Bannon. All right, go ahead.
He's a hero. He's a hero. And and he came over during Trump's administration, which isn't a coincidence. He understood that President Trump would be a friend and a supporter of his being here and seeking asylum. And in spite of our brain-damaged president's comment that the Chinese are just regular folks, they're not bad folks. You know, China is the number one threat in the world today. It's clear. Everybody should know it by now. I don't have to pitch that very hard. And Miles Guo I know your viewers are very clued in. But let me just give a little information about who Miles Guo is. When he was in China, he was a big factor in the Tiananmen Square protests. And then he spent 2 years in a Chinese prison afterwards. He's been fighting the CCP for years inside China, which is a very brave, risky, and some would say stupid thing to do. But he did it anyway. He became a billionaire. And
that's the odd part that I have, right? Typically, when you're not a party member in China, right, you're not allowed to have prosperity. That is the way that it typically goes, which is why I am personally a little bit suspect of him, right?
Sure. Well, the media has been putting out information about $50 million homes and $300,000 Lamborghinis, but that's really just white noise. The best analogy of who Miles Guo, the billionaire, is to Jack Ma, the founder of Alibaba, who was a multi-gazillionaire.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chinese CCP have disappeared him. So that's the interesting thing about how a free economy struggles to stay alive inside a tyranny. Guys like Jack Ma and Miles Guo can still get very rich, usually in the technology sector.
Well, there was also a little bit of a difference between... Miles Guo and Jack Ma in the sense that Jack Ma, you know, is very useful to the CCP for creating Alibaba and creating more Chinese commerce, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't until he stepped out of line, which the CCP said, okay, no way, bye-bye.
I think that's right. And Miles Guo stepped out of line when he came to the U.S.
Sure.
You know, he started this, I was interviewed at the CPAC by Miles Guo's media company, the New Federal State of China. And they are a serious media company. I mean, they are really well-funded. They were funded by Guo, of course. But they are, you know, they're behind all the take down the CCP rap videos.
I've seen.
And all the, yeah, they are very, these are Chinese people who came to this country and believe in God and Jesus Christ, interestingly. I've spoken to a lot of them, and they're very, you know, they're people of faith, which is unusual for people who were raised in China. And you know, it's just the timing is very suspicious. Just as his media organization in the U.S., which is about free markets and freedom in general, all of a sudden he's thrown in jail. This has clearly been stimulated by Joe Biden himself.
Mm.
Joe Biden is on his knees in front of Xi, and he's not praying.
Well, he's worshiping something.
You like the image? So anyway, I've got to say that Miles Guo is somebody that people need to know more about. They need to watch him, particularly just Google. Well, don't Google. Go to your Brave search or DuckDuckGo search, and just search for Plan 13579. And it's the biochemical warfare plan that President Xi signed in 2017. And you'll learn so much about what's going on in China and how they're literally trying to destroy all of us and kill all of us. The reason for the virus release was they didn't want to get us in a nuclear war because they realized their own longevity was at risk then. So releasing a virus, according to the top Chinese general who's working with Xi on this plan, is to get rid of all the Americans and still have our useful land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
so
sure.
Go ahead.
Sure. No, I've heard that. Yeah.
You've heard that. Okay. Yeah. Good.
The fact that China says that before it would make an attack on the U.S. mainland, it would release a bioweapon that would wipe us out and cripple us, essentially, before they would make an attack on the U.S. mainland. We're taking your calls. We got Clown Car in New York calling in as Clown Car today. What's going on, John? How you doing?
Very well. I have a friend of mine on the phone. He's an iconic hip-hop artist. His name is Blase Blase. He would like to say hello to the InfoWarriors out there.
What's going on, Blase?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, glad you tuned in.
Oh, man, I love it, man. Love the program, man. Love what you guys do.
Appreciate it. You know, we'd love to have you on sometime. There is a topic that comes to mind. And I want to talk to you. I mean, if you're interested in talking for the next 8 minutes about the hip hop to prison pipeline, I think that was something that I was very interested in trying to get you on the show. And maybe we can set up a little date on the air, put you on the spot. But
yeah.
Is that what you wanted to call in about today, or did you want to talk about anything else?
I mean, whatever's on your mind. I mean, I just think that hip-hop has a lot to offer at the time we live in it. You know what I mean? With everything that's going on, I think hip-hop is the catalyst to taking us in the right direction. When you go back to the hip-hop's founding principles in mm-hmm. hip-hop, which created something that gave us our own rewarding system and, you know, with the breakdance and which took us away from the mainstream. And I think that that's what's needed right now. And that's what, you know, InfoWars been doing, bringing things to get us away from the mainstream of thinking. And I think that that's what hip-hop in the urban community, that's what it's always been.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know that you are a proponent for, you know, I would say benevolent hip-hop or hip-hop with a better message rather than just, you know, some of the stuff that I think is, you know, turning people turning people, you know, into.
Right, right. I mean, I meant to, like, I think hip hop in its pure form is a good feeling.
Right.
And that good feeling is it's everything, the way we feel inside. I know me and Clown Car was just talking this morning as he was moving. I was impressed with what he said. He said he gave away some things because instead of selling it, because it was a good feeling that it gave him.
Mm-hmm.
And a good feeling is like, I think that's what everything is. When you have a good feeling, you see the world differently. And we don't value good feelings. We don't value that internal feeling no more. I think what's happened with mainstream media, they took us away from that, you know. And it's just good to know that, just the conversation me and Clown Car had with, you know, instead of selling it, I gave it away.
Right.
Because the feeling was important.
Right. Yeah, no, I've got my thoughts on this, and kind of the question I posed to you at the beginning was, about how rap had been kind of co-opted, right? And there's kind of a financial incentive for people to put out things that are sensational or salacious, right? Or, you know, things like that sound like fun, but, you know, tend to be bad. And I do agree with you that hip hop was something that the government saw and said, hey, this is not mainstream, right? It's not under our control. Therefore, we have to co-opt it. And it's always very difficult finding people who understand the industry to be willing to step out on a limb and talk about it. But one of the things that I know about, you know, kind of the effects of some of this, like, mainstream hip hop, right? That's, you know, all about drugs, rap, drugs, you know, sex, you know, the same thing with rock and roll, right? When rock and roll started doing that, right, attitudes of Americans changed, right? And it's also with rap, right, too.
Right.
Where, you know, it's just kind of one of those old mantras, kind of like garbage in, garbage out. But, and I'll totally ask you, you know, about artists who you're listening to now, what you think is good food for the soul, if you will, right?
I think if you're listening to classic hip hop, I think that if anything, it can be new, but long as it's inspired by classic hip hop. Mm-hmm. I think the 90s is a pivotal point. It's a great era. I think it's one of the best era because of the music we made in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And like when hip hop was at its apex and hip hop was doing the best.
It was kind of the Wild West for it. The golden era, but
it was it had no gatekeepers.
Mm.
But when the East is in the house, oh my God, danger!
My God, yeah. Shout out to East New York, man. Everybody in East New York and Brooklyn. But yeah, it had no gatekeepers. So you had that free energy, and you was able to. And the energy is a vibration. That's going to reflect your vibration. And I just think that makes the world a better place when you have that free spirit. And when you can just create on that level. Now it's just like everything is in a box. They control it. They put you in a box. And I think the average person doesn't know the effects of music. They don't know how music affects their body. So I think the governments and the controlling entities know. And they create this energy with the music. And it puts us into these scenarios where you have people not feeling good and people just... responding to their problems wrong, and you have those shootings. You have those shootings because people are not feeling good on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that's been working. They've been working on and building and making sure internally you feel miserable, and internally you have these shootings on the inside of your body.
Tell me about that. About what's going on inside.
Right. I mean, that's all the food. That's the food you're eating. All that contributes to it. What you're watching on television.
The mental warfare.
So it's an outward thing that's making you feel away in the inside. And if you're not controlling it, if you're not watching what you eat, taking care of your body, it's going to create that environment inside of your body.
So you're saying that we've lost respect for ourselves, and if we don't respect ourselves, we're not going to respect other people.
You're going to see the world like that. You're going to see the world from the inside. way that you feel on the inside is going to be the way, it's going to be the lenses you put on your eye.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally get that, right? If you don't respect yourself, you're not going to respect other people. And that's kind of where that golden rule that, you know, I've been preaching on it. But, you know, if you would treat yourself like crap, you're going to treat other people like crap. And,
right.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think that that's where hip-hop is so important, because hip-hop has been where we're able to create the platform to carry that message. You know, because you can't carry that message no other in these major platforms, you're not able to do it. So MCs and rappers, you know, that came out of the 90s, they was able to create that verbal platform and get the message out.
Right on. Hey, Blase, thank you for giving us a call. All right, y'all, we're taking your calls. Just want to remind you one more time, there's a place you can go called the InfoWosto. InfoWarsStore.com is a great place you can go to get the nutraceuticals that you have been searching for. Got great deals on a full spectrum of products. Got multivitamins. Got things that make you rough, tough, buff, and gruff. Quite literally all of those things. We've got water and air filtration. We've got it all. And like one of our previous callers said, it's kind of hard once you start.
You're tuned in to the American Journal.
Yes, you are. You are sure tuned in to the American Journal. But anyways, InfoWarsStore.com is definitely a great place to go. I would totally go there if I wasn't on air right now. And it was a physical place. But you can go there on the internet during a break. Anyways, Yosh or Yash in Pennsylvania. You want to talk about a bookstore that's actually teaching people how to read. Yash, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Right on. Thanks for holding.
How you doing? I started antique and bookstore both. And
okay.
I'm just so disgusted. I'm, you know, watching Ella and all those drag queen story time. They don't even teach the children had cursive anymore. Like, how do these kids read? It's astonishing.
Right.
I had a helper here at the store, and I gave him a note in cursive, and he looked at me like it was hieroglyphic, you know?
Right.
I was like, and then he goes, they don't teach us this. I was just shocked. So, you know, I had to tell it to him. Waste of my time. I already write it down, and then they can't read. And then one more thing in trying to say, racism. You know, racism doesn't really, it doesn't exist. Because the prefix of racism is race. Therefore, we're all one human race. That's why we can procreate with an Asian person, an African American person, a Haitian person. We just come from different tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Very tribal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, therefore, in Africa, there's tribes that run around machetes and really hurt other tribes. You know, could you imagine if there was a tribe that landed in Miami with machetes and started hacking apart American people?
Mm.
No. You know, so we love our American tribe, and we try to be very wholesome and do what is right. You know, my girl went to Africa many months ago on a safari, and a man comes right to her father and says, how many cows for your daughter? For the blondes, you know, we don't really act like that here in America,
mm-hmm.
but it's a tribal thing, and it's racism. We're all one race. It's about how you were taught and where you're from, and some tribes just don't act right.
Right,
and that's what it comes down to me. You know, just some tribes just don't act right. And we all know what is right, and we're all the human race, but this is our tribe of America, and we care about it, want to keep our sovereignty, and we just do what our tribe is right. Now, we still have problems with our tribe, leaders in this, but we will continue to try to keep our tribe going. And then, what else is there? One more thing.
Hmm.
The TikTok thing. What do we got on TikTok? So,
do you hate TikTok more or less than me?
Oh, I can't stand it. But I have no social media, so I played around it. I don't do the bump and grind stuff. I like those guys trying to find free power and all the educational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But with all that stuff comes in, but they're no different. I know they want to put the eyeballs. Well, yeah, they're just bad. But yeah, everybody's stealing information. You know, they're just taking the attention off the other guys, Facebook and all the other nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously they're more home-based, I guess, over in China, but they're all just bad. They're all probably in bed with each other, you know. But, you know, it doesn't last long. And all those people who actually do have good TikTok accounts, they attack those people as well. You know, so, you know, everybody, it's a big game because they shut everybody down every 2 seconds. You know, so,
TikTok is, you know, there's a podcast that I tune into occasionally, and, it's, filled with, tons of hate, and, a little bit of comedy. The guy's, you know, he rags on a lot of people. It's, Red Bar,
mm-hmm.
This guy, Mike David. And, one of the little tidbits, you know, he's talking about, you know, how he hates how everybody's TikTok this and TikTok that and this and that. And everybody's so, you know, everybody's got a TikTok account who shares something, sees like, oh, I got 1,000 views. He's like, did you ever, Mike David says, did you ever think that maybe those numbers are fake?
It's like, mm-hmm.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's almost like a social psychology experiment. Like, can you get someone to do something ridiculous if they're going to get a positive response from someone? What's that threshold, right? For 10 views, if they were 10 sincere views, right, that were 10 people that actually legitimately like this content, would someone do something? Okay. Well, what if it was 1,000 views, but we can't really guarantee that it was actually people who were watching them wittingly or actually intentionally watching them, you know,
it's
and people fall for this trick and this acceptance, right? Because again, we're very atomized, right? And if we see a sign of acceptance for something that we do, then we're willing to do a backflip and videotape ourselves doing it, right?
It's funny you said that because my biggest video on TikTok, they shut me down and put me in what they call the internet gulag. It was when that trucker rally was going on in Canada. And I made a video of just me fully clothed. And I sampled one of their songs off their platform, mm-hmm. 36, and it was me just doing a little swing dance, going, singing some old country song, Your President's a Traitor, and everybody knows. And that Tucker rally was at its apex, and it was We Love Canada, you know, to help them film. And I got 10,000 whatever, and then they shut me down.
Mm.
And then I had to make it so complicated. The only time I sent them, why, you know, how you shut me down, I'm using your sample. And I absolutely just sitting there. So, and God bless them. I think it was my little caption. And I was just lip-syncing the sample song that was on their platform.
Sounds like they didn't like your message, though, huh?
Yeah, they reinstated me. But it was just really nonsense because obviously it's not going towards their agenda or whatnot. But, you know what I mean? When you do something that is completely kosher and it's still not good for somebody.
Right.
You know? So,
well, hey, either way, Yosh, I am glad that you were fully clothed in that video. So,
compared to what the ladies wear, you know what I mean? I'm European in my beach ways. I like a Speedo out there.
I bet.
Send us
a picture of you in a Speedo to tips@infowars.com. We'll put it on the air, okay?
I would love that. I have an American tag line.
Yeah.
You know, I love what everybody can
make sure to
CC me,
Rob Dew on that one. Yep.
Let me write that. InfoWars tips.
tips@infowars.com. Oh, show tips.
Oh, my bad.
I've got that email on my server. I go through that email.
Show tips?
Yeah, show tips. And make sure not to show us your tip, okay?
I would never. No, but I love a good laugh.
All right.
And,
yes.
showtip@infowars.com.
Yeah, speaking of that, you don't have to be wearing a Speedo to send us a show tip. Guys, if you guys got any hot tips about some news that you you think is breaking news, send it to showtips@infowars.com. We'd love to hear from you. Yosh, thanks for giving us a call. We're going to Judy, Mike, Michael, Wildcard, and Chad on the next side. We're taking your calls. Judy in Florida has been holding on for quite a while, along with Mike in Knoxville. Judy, you are on the air. You want to talk about the deception that's been occurring for everyone. Judy, thank you for holding patiently.
Hi, Matt. Nice to speak with you again.
Yep.
I wanted to say that earlier when it was basically being discussed about the natural state of what a human should be feeling, that is joy. That is, you know, what we should be feeling is that, you know, that happiness when we give things of that nature, that's what we're supposed to feel. And even having said that, I think one of the hallmarks of the time that we're living in is the fact that there's, and this was something else that was being discussed earlier, is the lack of accountability of anything. I mean, just to give a short list of who's been held accountable will maybe illustrate my point. Mm-hmm. Seth Rich, Michael Hastings, Edward Snowden, Julian Assange, Joe Biggs, Stuart Rhodes. Those people have either death, you know, they've been murdered, cold blood, they've been exiled, or they're in prison. And that's what I mean by the lack of accountability of those that are actually committing the criminal atrocities on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
The deception I was talking about, I mentioned this gentleman's name once on air not long ago. His name is Jamie Walden. And, you know, the only person that I put in a place of high esteem, of course, is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
What is special about Jamie Walden is that he is a Marine, he's former ENT, police officer, he's got a degree in history, and he's now a pastor. He was on the Hagman Report, and Alex since had Doug Hagman, which was wonderful, on his program, and Steve Quayle. I'd really love to see Jamie Walden on the program talking about the perestroika deception. And I thought it was a bunch of hooey when he started talking about it. I thought it was just, you know, something trendy that he thought would be, you know, kind of interesting to talk about. And this is a very serious matter, actually.
The stroika deception, what was
perestroika.
It?
Perestroika.
Perestroika.
P-E-R-E-S-T-R-O-I-K-A deception.
And what is this deception? I'm unaware.
Okay, well, okay, so was I. I've heard the word before, but not what the concept was. But basically what it boils down to is that what was the former Soviet Union was actually never dissolved, and that out of Russia, the former Soviet Union, whatever you want to call it, is basically where the subversion of the West originated from. And it all comes down to, I'll give you a couple of figures. To begin with, Helena Blavatsky, if no one has heard of her, you can get an immediate understanding maybe of what I was talking about. But she's like one of the originators of the Theosophy Society. This is all about Luciferianism. And anything that comes under the umbrella of communism, socialism, any of these earmarks, and it basically began in the early 60s, all of this was about the subversion of the West. And they've been very successful, those being in the mystery religions. And but it all came out of what we consider the former Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And I sort of listened for a while about Vladimir Putin being, you know, somewhat Christian, you know, having that bent. He's a hardcore communist. And he can talk about the West the way he does only because I believe that he helped in its destruction. Okay, so all of the horrible conditions we're living under, whether it's economically, whether it's spiritually, anything negative that's happening in Europe and in the in America is basically part of the orchestration. And with the BRICS countries, you know, really at the helm of it, and I can't say where the Antichrist is actually going to come out of, but I do believe he's alive right now, wherever he is. But
could be a she.
You know, excuse me?
Could be a she.
Yeah, yeah. If you look at the Baphomet, yeah, absolutely, hermaphroditic.
Or it could be. Yeah.
Bottom line is, mm-hmm. with the BRICS nations, you know, coalescing together, and the whole payment system that they're setting up, and all of our billions of dollars going into the Ukraine, which is part of, you know, what I'm saying is the Soviet Union, part of Russia anyway, Belarus, you know, part of Russia. All of this is to siphon off what is left of, you know, our best weaponry. You know, our money is just being stolen. And, you know, all of the money is going into whoever is cooperating with this ruse against our nation. That includes anybody in the White House. And really, Jamie would be the one who would have to really articulate all that I have to say about the perestroika deception, because it goes very deep. And all I know is that I wanted to read the book myself, but it's like the least expensive price that I found on it on eBay, because I talked to people that may have had the book in their own library, and they just didn't. It was $80 on Amazon. For a paperback, it's $275.
Interesting. So people can go find it probably online by searching for it, or digital text?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, right? Yes. A paperback version of the book is $275.
Yeah.
And then the a man by the name of Viktor Suvorov, and guess what country he comes out of? He's actually a defector, but he talks about the Great Terror. And really, everything that's happening that looks like it's accidental here in the United States right now is part of what Jamie was speaking of being like the overture of the softening up of you know, the United States.
Interesting.
And I mentioned in a previous...
There's been a lot of stuff about that, right? The subversion of the West, and the fact that Russia was... much better at propaganda than the West was, in a time where nuclear supremacy is what determined the world order. So, again, the perestroika deception. For anybody who is interested in this topic that Judy has brought up, we invite you to go check that out online. So thank you, Judy, for giving us a call. We've got one last call here. Mike in Knoxville, you've also been holding on for quite a while. And I just want to get to you to kind of round out the hour here. You want to talk about what would happen to Trump if he gets elected in 2024. Mike, what do you think is going to fall upon Trump should he win? Hey, Mike, in Knoxville, you are on the air. I know you've been holding for a while. If you're still there, you may have hit the mute button.
I did. Are you there?
Yeah, we got you.
Hello?
I know how
All
it goes.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much for your patience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the ace up the sleeve of the New World Order is going to be a war between Israel and the Muslim world.
Mm.
And I think that's what he's going to be hit with, because that's what's going to usher in, you know, that's what's going to deplete all the currencies of the world, is another world war. And I think his Achilles heel is his Zionism. He's got so many evangelicals around him that are dispensational Zionists. And they want that war, Matt. John Hagee wants that war. He lobbies for that war. And, you know, he's got Jared Kushner. He's got Talmudic Jews and Zionists that also want that war. And I'm really concerned about it, because all three of these sects want to self-fulfill prophecies that I believe have already been fulfilled. Like, I believe the Battle of Armageddon was fulfilled between the Roman War and the Jews, you know, between A.D. 67 and A.D. 70.
That is very fascinating. Yeah, another world war. Is it going to come about from the? Is the flashpoint going to be the Middle East, or is it going to be the Ukraine? We don't know, but